probably not going to get any easier for me to
read. No.
But like to rate it like, well, I didn't understand it, so I guess 3 stars seems, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, how do you judge it based on your...
So I don't know if I'm going to rate it at all. Okay. Maybe I'll write a little review of just like, this book is way smarter than me. It feels like a really good book, but I cannot in good conscience rate it.
Well, yeah, Faulkner is just one of those authors that's like really hard, I think. He kind of does bounce all over the place and hard to follow, I think.
But I feel proud of him actually reading that. That's been on my to-read list for a long time.
I think I got maybe 10 pages into that and was like, nope.
And here I thought I was going to get to Ulysses this year. Mm-hmm. And if I can't understand this book, I don't think I'm going to understand that book. So that one's going to be for a later date, I think.
Yeah. The nice thing is we have the internet and like, you can read, like, you can ask, like, there's people out analyzing these things or trying to explain them to you in ways that maybe you didn't have, especially when these books were written. It's like people didn't have the analysis of them to look at and kind of help them figure it out.
It definitely felt like, as I started reading Sound of the Fury, that what I imagine it feels like going on a, like, bucking bronco of just like, I don't know what's happening right now. I'm barely holding on kind of thing. Because it's like it jumps from different timelines from the narrator's perspective, and I was just like so confused. But it was fun. It's fun when you like try something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely good to try these things. Kudos to you.
Let us know what you're reading. Text us at 218-326-1234.
Support comes from Hibbing Chrysler Center, serving northern Minnesota, carrying Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles with staff available to assist on the Beltline in Hibbing or at HibbingChrysler.us.
We receive support from North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at NorthHomes.org.
We also receive support from the Northwoods Pond Hockey Championship taking place Saturday, February 14th on McKinney Lake in Grand Rapids, featuring food trucks, live music, and an open skating rink for skaters of all ages. The event is open to all spectators with more information at northwoodspondhockey.com.
You are listening to 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXC.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Partly to mostly sunny today, highs 35 to 38, light west winds. And tonight, chance for mixed precipitation, steady temps in the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, chance of rain mixed with snow, mostly cloudy, highs near 36. Tomorrow night, down into the single digits, and Wednesday, sunny, highs 11 to 17.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. President Trump says he expects a meeting with Iranian leaders to take place soon amid ongoing protests in that country. Human rights activists say more than 500 demonstrators have been killed in Iran since the anti-government protests began. NPR's Deepa Shivaram has more.
Traveling on Air Force One back to Washington, Trump said Iranian leaders called Saturday to negotiate and said a meeting would be set up, though he didn't specify when that would take place. Trump added that the U.S. might still take action on Iran before a meeting takes place. The president also didn't specify what kind of action he would take on Iran, but says the military is looking into options and he's getting hourly reports on the protests. In recent weeks, protests have escalated in Iran with reports of hundreds of protesters dead and internet blackouts. On that, Trump says he's considering calling Elon Musk to assist in providing internet connectivity in Iran. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, traveling with the president.
The International Court of Justice in The Hague is hearing a case today involving accusations of genocide carried out by Myanmar's military against the minority Rohingya. The allegations date back to 2017 and have been denied by the government, as Michael Sullivan explains.
More than 700,000 Rohingya were forced to flee to neighboring Bangladesh amid widespread reports of killing, rape, and arson, with entire villages being burned to the ground. A UN fact-finding mission concluded the Myanmar military's actions had included genocidal acts. The predominantly Muslim West African country of Gambia filed a formal case against Myanmar at the court in 2019, where Myanmar's then de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, told the court the facts presented by Gambia were incomplete and misleading. Suu Kyi remains in prison in Myanmar following the military's 2021 coup. The Rohingya continue to languish in camps in Bangladesh. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Chiang Mai.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the Justice Department is threatening him with a criminal indictment over the cost of renovations to Fed buildings in Washington. It stems from Powell's testimony to the Senate Banking Committee in June of last year. The renovations of the Fed's two office buildings cost $2.5 billion. President Trump has described the price tag as excessive and has repeatedly criticized Powell for not being more aggressive to lower U.S. interest rates. In a video statement, Powell says he believes the threat of charges is part of Trump's attempt to undermine the Fed's independence when it comes to setting rates. Authorities in Mississippi say a weekend fire at a synagogue in Jackson was the result of arson. One person is under arrest. This is NPR News. The movie One Battle After Another was among the big winners at last night's Golden Globe Awards in Beverly Hills. As Steve Futterman reports, the film captured four honors.
It is now the Oscar favorite.
And the winner is One Battle After Another.
Julia Roberts made the announcement as One Battle After Another, a sometimes offbeat film depicting the struggles of a group of immigrants as they try to stay in the U.S., won Best Comedy or Musical Film. The film's creator, Paul Thomas Anderson, won Best Director and Best Screenplay, and Tiana Taylor won Best Female Supporting Actor. Another big winner was
Hamnet.
Hamnet, which tells the story of William Shakespeare dealing with the death of his son, won Best Dramatic Film. Timothy Chalamet won Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for his performance in Mardi Supreme. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
The longest-serving state legislator in New Jersey's history has died. Richard Dick Cody was 79 years old. In a social media post, his family says Cody died after a brief illness. Cody was first elected to the state assembly in 1974 and was later elected to the state senate in 1982. The Democrat also served as president of the state senate and twice as acting governor of New Jersey. Cody assumed the governor's mansion temporarily three times, though. Cody was known as an advocate for mental health awareness and treatment and as a backer of stem cell research. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org.
It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Andrew DeZingle.
Good morning, as the sun is coming up now.
Yes, we have daylight. It's always a, you know, slow but steady march back towards some light, and we are starting to move in the more light direction, although it's been very slow, I think.
Yes, the days are getting longer. It's starting to feel like it. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it definitely wouldn't be this bright, say, a month ago.
Yeah, I think our sunrise time is officially before 8 o'clock now.
Yay! Like we did it, folks. We're almost there.
So that's good. And our evenings, it's, you know, you can, it's a little different. I think we're you know, gaining there too a little bit, where sunset is, I think it's still before 5 o'clock, but it's not quite as stark as December.
What I like about this time of year, though, it's an underrated quality, is I can watch movies at 5 o'clock because there isn't a glare on my TV from the sun.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Because yesterday I got to watch 3 days of the Condor, of a Condor, whatever Robert Redford was in yesterday, and I got to watch it at 4:30. All right. Delightful.
Good. And did you enjoy it?
It's a good movie, I think.
Yeah.
A little, I don't know, confusing storyline to me, but overall good, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. All right. let us know what you've been watching or reading, or you can also, our question of the week is about favorite games. Text us 218-326-1234. And don't forget, Andrew DeZingle, going to be your host for Headwaters as well this morning. Request line, songs about beginnings of things. Text us 218-326-1234. Earlier, before 8 o'clock, we were talking about how you are reading The Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner. And we heard from Susan and Cotton, who said, as a senior in college, I successfully argued I could not read Faulkner as he is purposely confusing and life is too short. I tried Ulysses twice and came to the same conclusion.
You know, I'm getting just enough from The Sound and the Fury that I'm going to keep going. I've only got 150 pages left.
Yeah, I think as long as you've gotten this far, keep going.
Yeah. I've been reading like 50 pages at a time. That seems to be a good stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
Could I tell you what's happening? Vaguely.
Yeah. Well, I give you credit too, because you also have, you're in a play right now. You're practicing for the Bemidji Community Theater production of Clue. So you have all those lines in your head that you have to keep track of. And then you're reading something kind of confusing.
Well, luckily with Clue. So 2 years ago, I was in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, where there's only four characters in the entire show. And I was literally on stage for, I would say, at least 85 of the 100 pages mm-hmm. of it. So it was like so many lines. But with Clue, there's at least seven main characters plus at least four side characters. So I don't have as many lines to memorize, and it's been so much easier.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And I don't have any monologues, so no one go to Clue expecting Professor Plum to give a big monologue about, oh, I don't know, psychological medicine. It's not going to happen.
Okay, that's good.
But my second professor in 2 years role, so
there you go.
Maybe I'm being typecast.
Yeah, I guess you are.
We received support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward.
We also thank Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com. Coming up at 8:45, we have a bright spot. We are going to talk with Pastor Tori Van de Zand from United Congregational Church in Hackensack. They have an event this Friday to raise funds for their new roof. Also, we're going to hear about all the things that happen under that roof. It goes well beyond their own church and really serving their community. So we'll hear more about that at 8:45. And then, as I mentioned, Andrew's hosting Headwaters request line song theme today, songs about starting something.
Perhaps like Rolling Stones' Start Me Up. That's a good example.
There you go. I also thought of Chicago has a song called Beginnings.
Mm, I don't know that one.
It's like, you know, Chicago is one of those bands that has very kind of two distinct phases. Mm-hmm. It's a bit earlier in the Chicago.
Ooh, so repertoire. It's more horns.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Yep. All right, text in your suggestions, 218-326-1234. We're going to listen to our album of the week now. We get to kick it off here on Monday morning. It's called Secret Love by Dry Cleaning. Dry Cleaning are a British rock band from London. This is their third full-length album. They are known for vocalist Florence Shaw's deadpan spoken word delivery and unconventional lyrics over prominent bass lines and post-punk grooves. They expand their sound on this album to include jingle pop guitars, elements of folk rock, and occasional singing from Shaw. It was partly recorded at Wilco's The Loft Studio, and Jeff Tweedy does play guitar on one of the tracks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The song, we're not going to hear that one, though. Not right now. I'm sure we will throughout the week. But the song I chose is called Let Me Grow and You'll See the Fruit from Dry Cleaning.
Of my feet, go somewhere, read something, go for a walk, listen to something, hiccup, hiccup. TV show for however long. Afraid about my privacy. Can't get me anything bigger than a sample size. Wind up winch legs. It's April. Next stop, Bernini Island. Perhaps someday, even this. Such a short distance. You know. Let me grow. Fruit. Let me grow and you will see the fruit. Thank you to me for coming. People move away from me. I constantly think there are spiders on me and around me. Enjoyed your gig. Every time.
Thank you.
Everyone can be very sexually attractive. I dearly want to make friends. I yearn for a friend who I can tell my secrets to. Why does the past hurt me so? The world is laughing at me. I'm such a disaster.
From our album of the week, the band is Dry Cleaning, the album Secret Love, and that song was Let Me Grow and You'll See the Fruit. We'll be hearing lots more from it throughout the week here on KAXC. It's the Monday Morning Show. I'm Jennifer Barr with Andrew DeZingle.
Good morning. So we've got a special announcement of an upcoming event we're going to be having put on by KAXC, KBXC. And it's going to be a Bemidji event on January 24th. We are going to have a Ski-palooza event. We're going to gather at Three Island Park at noon on January 24th till 3 o'clock. And come on down if you want to cross-country ski, if you want a snowshoe, if you just want to hike, if you want to fat tire bike ride, or if you want to skate if the ice is smooth enough, I guess. I have no idea. But so we're having a get together at Three Island Park on January 24th at noon. We're going to have potluck food available. And at these previous events, we've had people come with instruments and do a little jam in the warming house at the Three Island Park. So that might happen as well. But we'd love to see you come down. We talked about this last year and we had some interest from listeners of wanting to have a get together at like a cross country ski thing. And so we're doing it this year. Now's your chance to participate.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, we had similar events like this in the past couple of years that some Bemidji community members have put on, and we're kind of teaming up with them to put on this event. And it's always a lot of fun, like during these months where kind of post-holiday vibes where it's kind of just dreary all the time, nothing to look forward to really. Mm-hmm. And so this is a chance to get together, meet your fellow community members, fellow winter outdoor enthusiasts, and have a couple snacks and good conversations and hopefully some live music as well.
Yeah, that would be really fun. January 24th. And there's a warming house where you can have food and stuff.
And yep. And we're probably going to have a fire in there. I didn't think about that. But don't worry, we'll take care of the details.
Yes. All right. Well, looking forward to that.
Do you snowshoe or cross country ski?
I don't have the equipment currently. Mm-hmm. I have done both of those things in the past. I cross country skied quite a bit when I was a kid. Like I actually had like a kid sized, you know, when I was like 8, 9, I had cross country skis, skis that had cute little polar bears on them. So I did that. And then I downhill skied a lot in high school where we would go. There was a ski hill about an hour away from my house, and it was like a community ed thing where you could go every Friday night and do downhill skiing. So I was really into that for a while.
So you went to BSU as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was your, the athletic class you took?
Pickleball.
Pickleball. Really? They had that?
They did.
Wow.
My very first semester. Yep. I had played it in like middle school gym class. So I knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I can do that. So yeah.
Because there was a skiing class, wasn't there?
I bet there was.
Yeah. I wish I would have done something like that. I did badminton.
Okay.
I only did it just to like get the class out of the way. And yep. I don't know why I just picked badminton. I should have picked like an actual fun thing. I haven't played badminton since.
Did you say badminton's not fun?
Well, no one ever wants to play because no one's ever learned the fundamentals like I have. It just wouldn't be fair.
Yeah. It's funny. a friend asked me to go play pickleball this fall, and it was her and another couple. And so we, you know, had four of us, and she had just taken a little like class on it. So she kind of knew like the scoring and the rules and how you're supposed to like switch sides and all this. And like, I did not remember any of it from my college days. So it, but yeah, it was a good time.
Remember having to take like written quizzes on the class? Or did you not have to?
Did I?
I had to for badminton.
I maybe did. I can't remember. I probably did. Like, you know, all the things, the scoring and what the points, you know.
Yeah, like names of things too.
Yeah, where the, you know, when you're out of bounds and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably did. I don't remember again. This was a long time ago.
Why didn't I take dancing?
Yeah, that would have been fun. I don't know. I was just my very, you know, I was there for like the summer registration thing. And I was like, oh, you need an physical education course. And I saw pickleball as a thing. And I was like, okay, do it. It's done. Then I don't have to think about it for the next 4 years.
I took it my second semester, and the class was in the, is it Gillette Fitness Center?
Mm-hmm.
And then my class right after that was in Mangsburg. And this class was during the second semester, so it's winter.
Oh, that's,
so I had to run across all of campus.
A ways to go.
Less than 10 minutes to get to History of Rock and Roll.
Oh, I took History of Rock and Roll at BSU too. I took that as a night class.
It was a night class? This was mm-hmm. a morning class when I took it.
Yeah, it was once a week, like 3 hours.
Ours was twice a week.
Yeah. I bet we had the same professor who I can't think of the name right now.
Gassman?
I don't know.
But so yeah, anyway, back to the event going on January 24th. We'd love to see all your faces there.
Yeah, and try something new. I mean, again, equipment can be tricky, but maybe someone's like, here, try my snowshoes. See if you like it.
Oh yeah, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bring my snowshoes. I don't know what size they are off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I've never used them. I bought them during COVID times, and then I got into cross-country skiing instead of snowshoeing.
Oh, okay. And snowshoeing, hopefully we have good snow for both of those things. I mean, the snowshoeing, it works. They work really good if you have like a deep snow.
Yeah. I went cross-country skiing, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and there was plenty of snow then.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some snow this weekend. So I think it'll still be good as long as it's not too warm this week, next week.
Yeah. Looking at the extended forecast, it looks like we could get a few inches of snow like Thursday this week.
And oh, then perfect.
It's going to be kind of colder this weekend. And then the next week, I don't know. But yeah, we've got just under 2 weeks until the, what are we calling it? Winterpalooza?
Well, we did call it Ski Palooza before, but Winterpalooza makes more sense because it's not just cross country skiing. So
okay.
I'll put it up to the board of Winterpalooza and see what they say.
And we know there's lots of winter festivals and things happening. As we mentioned earlier, Back to Hack is this weekend in Hackensack. There's like five, like a, you know, outdoor run and things. And
the
games.
Polar plunge they do. I went to Back in Hack. Gosh, it's got to be whatever the year was that the when the high school hockey team plays outside. I forget what that's called.
Oh, yeah. Like Hockey Day
or whatever.
Minnesota.
So whatever day that was in Bemidji, it was like 30 below that day. And Back in Hack, people were polar plunging. And I was like, you know what? Good for you. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
That looked it did not look fun to me, but people were having a good time. So
that's good. We got to make the most of winter.
Yeah.
Like it's here, whether we like it or not. So we might as well enjoy it.
So if I were them, I would be like, well, at least it's not 30 below this time. Let's do it. This is going to feel like a sauna in here.
Support for KAXE comes from Atchison Tire in Grand Rapids, providing service and offering tire brands like Bridgestone, Firestone, and Toyo, serving the area since 1916. More at AtchisonTire.com.
And don't forget to listen to the Season Watch Pod with hosts Charlie Mitchell, Heidi Hilton, John Latimer, and a rotating cast of characters. Season Watch is for the curious, filled with the delights of nature. This and the new episodes come out on Thursdays.
Yeah, this week we conversation with Little Falls Middle School teacher Chad Kaditz, who we hear his classrooms on phenology. And if you've seen our stories on our website with the talkbacks, there's often Chad's chalk drawings to illustrate what's going on in nature. And he does that with his class. And he talked about that in the podcast. And yeah, fun conversation with him. So
available where all podcasts are available, wherever your choice.
That's right.
We receive support from the Move It Real Estate Group, assisting clients with real estate purchases and sales for over 25 years, not only in Grand Rapids, but across northern Minnesota. Move to what moves you. More at moveitrealestate.com.
The next Bemidji Contour Dance is Saturday, January 24, 6:30 at Lammers Town Hall in Solway. All ages and abilities may dance to live acoustic music by 4 Mile Portage. Everything will be taught. The first hour is dedicated to young families. Free will donations are welcome.
And winter is here. Make room in your garage the no-hassle way. Donate your vehicle to KAXE. It's easy and towing is free. Plus, your car donation helps to keep people-powered radio going strong. Visit KAXE.org/cars to get your car donation started, or call Heather at 218-326-1234 for more information.
Chair has a free community meal on Sunday, January 18th, at their location on Chestnut Street in downtown Virginia from noon to 3. The event also offers food and clothing distribution to those in need. If you have items to donate, you may bring them to Chair at any time.
So I didn't have a chance to watch the Golden Globes last night, but looking at the winners, it makes me excited for the Oscars season. I think we're going to have some good contenders this year. I don't think it's just going to be, if I had to guess which movie is going to be probably the favorite, I think it's going to be One Battle After Another, seeing these results, but we'll see.
Yeah, that one kind of got a lot last night at the Golden Globes. The Oscar announcements are January 22nd, so we have over a week to wait and see what those will be. But do you think did the Globes have any sway on Oscar nominations, or this is just a whole separate thing and they're not paying attention to that?
I think they'll pay attention to it. I think it's a good signal for like who are probably the best like acting contenders,
mm-hmm,
for like the best in the supporting roles, because like this, I think, increases Rose Byrne's chance of getting nominated for an Oscar for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, because
she won in the comedy category.
Yes.
Is that I didn't think that movie was.
I think it's a dark comedy.
Okay. I mean, I haven't seen it, but just looking at previews and stuff, it seems, yeah, kind of dark.
But the Oscars don't really favor dark comedy performances. Mm-hmm. So, but it'd be really cool if she got nominated, because like, I think Rose Byrne's an underrated actor.
Yeah. I always enjoy her whenever I come across movies that she's in.
And it was interesting to see Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent win Best Drama Actor. I wouldn't have guessed that was going to happen, but I think it's going to be probably between him and Timothy Chalamet for Best Actor with Marty Supreme.
The interesting thing is, so the Golden Globes split the movie categories into drama and comedy, correct?
Yes.
And the Oscars is just one.
Just one category.
Yeah, one big thing. They don't differentiate. All right. You can let us know what you've been, if you've seen any of these movies that, you know, are getting all these award buzz. You can text us 218-326-1234. We also asked about what you've been reading lately, and Emily from Des Moines said, I'm listening to the Madeline L'Engle books and reading The Wizard of Oz, enjoying childhood classics.
I've never read The Wizard of Oz, but isn't that like a series of books?
There's a lot of Wizard of Oz books. And then the Madeline L'Engle, Wrinkle in Time. I read that as an adult and really enjoyed it.
I read
the whole series of those. And then there's like another family of books that she writes, and that's like maybe not quite as fantastical, that Madeline L'Engle writes, and I really enjoyed those too.
I read a Wrinkle in Time in elementary school in fifth grade, I want to say, because we had to split up into groups and we each group read a different book. And that was my group's book.
All right. Let us know what you've been reading, enjoying, watching, your favorite games. That is our question of the week. Text 218-326-1234. Also, Andrew's hosting Headwaters coming up at 9 o'clock. Request line theme is songs about beginnings. We've gotten a few texts on that. Two people suggesting In the Beginning by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Oh, that's a good one.
So there you go. Up next, we're going to hear the Up North Report. Megan Buffington has part three of her series on local property taxes.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with a special edition of the Up North Report. Your property has been assessed, and local governments have set their levies. Your property tax statement will be in the mail by the end of March, and you'll have made your first payment by mid-May. This is the third and final part of our property tax series. If you missed the first two parts, you can find them at kaxe.org. In our last installment, we finished breaking down your tax statement. Now we're going to tie up a few loose ends and dig into how you can be more involved in the process this year. The only thing that isn't set for 2026 is your refund. There are two main property tax refunds for homeowners. You qualify for one of them if your household income is below a certain threshold. You qualify for the other if your property taxes went up by more than 12%. But did you know that the process of calculating your 2027 taxes has already started? County assessors are currently evaluating properties. They'll send your valuation notice to you in March or April. Remember how it says on your proposed tax statement that it's too late to appeal your value? That's because you have to do that in the spring, after valuation notices are sent. The valuation and appeals processes are a whole other rabbit hole. The truth is, assessing properties and calculating taxes are two separate systems, despite how closely connected they are. In Itasca County, the assessor Billy Hillback and auditor-treasurer Austin Rowling's offices are right across the hall from each other. They and their staff are crossing over to talk every day. Rowling and Hillback say they're a team, but by law, they have to work separately.
I control two pieces of the tax system, the calculation and the collection, and he controls the valuation.
And classification.
And the classification. I could not step in for Bill and start doing his pieces, and he could not step in for me and start doing my pieces.
Spring is also when local governments really start digging into their budgets. By September, they have to set the preliminary levies used for your proposed tax statements. Then those are sent to you in November, and we end up back at truth and taxation meetings in December with people fired up about their taxes. But those meetings are only about one government's budget.
And I think it's due to a lack of understanding.
Yes.
It's not because they stick their heads in the sand or they don't care until then. It's they don't know enough about how the process works.
A common refrain at truth and taxation meetings is you've sent me my notice in November and I can't do anything about it because you set my value in March. The long, overlapping timelines are part of the reason property taxes are so hard to follow. But values have to be set before taxes can be calculated. In late 2025, the last touches are being put on your 2026 taxes. At the same time, work is already underway to set the 2026 property values in advance of 2027 taxes.
We need you to be more proactive, and it's to your benefit to be more proactive. We want you to be involved. We know the process is complicated, but the process is what we operate within.
Rowling says he would love for all of the budget planning meetings to be as full as truth and taxation. Hillback says talking with taxpayers is a big part of his job.
Because education absolutely dispels misinformation.
I want to peel back the curtains a bit. I knew next to nothing about property taxes when we started this series. To learn more, I talked with Rowling, Hillback, and Grand Rapids City Administrator Tom Pagel. That doesn't even include diving into school levies, which are calculated in an entirely different way. You can also talk to them or their counterparts in your area. I also did a lot of research. Look for write-ups from the Minnesota House Research Department. The nonpartisan explainers written for legislators dive into complicated topics like this in as few as 2 pages. You can get as deep as you'd like. Time is a very real barrier for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, learning is still an individual responsibility. If you want to know more, you have to get involved and ask questions. There are people who want to answer them. And that includes us. Tell us what you want to know by emailing news@kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
You can find more local news at our website, kaxe.org, and the latest edition of the Up North Report airs this evening, 5:30, during All Things Considered, here on KAXE. It's 8:36. I'm Jennifer Barr with Andrew DeZingle.
Here on the Monday morning show.
Yeah,
we are. People-powered radio.
People-powered radio. Andrew joining the Monday morning rotation of hosts. Excited for that, and I'll be joining him on Wednesdays as well, not in the rotation, I should say. I don't think I'm on till the end of the month with you.
Yeah, I think so. You're on the, I want to say it's the
28th. I think, yeah.
What if you came on the 29th too?
Well, surprise, surprise. It is Take a Kid Ice Fishing Weekend, January 17th through the 19th, all across Minnesota. Residents may fish or spear without a license when accompanied by a child age 15 or younger. And there is a special event on Saturday, 1 to 3 at Lake Bemidji State Park. They'll provide equipment and heated shelters. And Kutaska Community Action has free community meals on Mondays from 4 to 6 and lunch every Wednesday from 11 to 1 at their Circles of Support office that's located across from Treasure Bay Printing on Northeast 4th Street in Grand Rapids. They also offer a food pantry 11 to 2 Monday through Thursday.
And don't forget, the History of Jazz airs Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 4 with host Paul Kivy, exploring the distinctly American art form. Tune in Sundays at 6 p.m. with volunteer-hosted Jazz on America Avenue. I always enjoy listening to History of Jazz because I always learn something new on that program.
Yeah, and I like how he's kind of been following a timeline, you know, where each, you know, he's going through the years, you know, in order, which I enjoy. Like, it's kind of chronological and fun times.
It's a untapped potential, I think, for me of the amount of jazz we have, especially at the KBXE studio.
Mm-hmm.
All those vinyl records of jazz. Like, we got Charlie Mingus in there. We've got Stan Getz. We've got Thelonious Monk back there. And I want to dive in. And it's just outside of those names, learning some of the deeper names from Paul Kivy is fascinating, too.
Yeah, and he'll play like these concert recordings, and it's very interesting. It's just like, wow, there was like just the amount of jazz being produced back then. We're like in the mid to late 50s at this point, I think.
Yeah, and I guess it's a coincidence because last night I watched the movie Whiplash. Have you seen that?
I have not.
It's about this guy who wants to be a great jazz drummer, and he's being pushed to the limit by his horrible teacher. Thing. And it's funny just watching this guy trying to be like the best drummer. It's like, yeah, it sounds good, but I don't know what makes you the best drummer. Buddy Rich, undeniably the best drummer, but I don't know what makes him better than everyone else.
Yeah, that's a good question. What does make a drummer a good drummer? And like, what people are like, so-and-so's the greatest drummer of all time. It's like, how do you determine that?
Yeah, you're keeping the beat. Best of that.
Interesting rhythms. I guess.
Doing the most on the drums. Can't see, but I'm doing the motions here.
Yeah. Programming is supported in part by University of Minnesota Extension, hosting Woodlands stewards from across Minnesota at the Minnesota Family Woodlands Conference, March 13th and 14th at St. John's University in Collegeville, teaching attendees practical ways to care for your woods and connect with others who are doing the same. More information on Facebook at My Minnesota Woods.
And support comes from Watermark Art Center in downtown Bemidji, featuring exhibits by Indigenous artists in the Mikanon Gallery, the Mikanon Gallery. The center is accessible and open to all. More at watermarkartcenter.org.
Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk with Pastor Tori Van de Zand from Union Congregational Church, United Church of Christ in Hackensack. They have an event this Friday called Frost and Flannel. And also, they've got a lot going on under their roof. This event on Friday is a fundraiser to build a new roof, or replace their roof, I should say. And we're going to find out more about what goes on there. And at 9 o'clock, Andrew DeZingle sticking around for Headwaters. Remember, the request line theme is songs about beginning things, starting things. And want to hear from you, you can text in 218-326-1234. Right now, we're going to hear some new music. This is Jay Maskus, and the song is called Say It On. Is new music from Jay Maskus is called Say It On here on the Monday Morning Show on KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Andrew DeZingle.
Good morning on this Monday morning.
Here we are.
The sun is shining.
Yeah, the sun is shining, which is perfect for a bright spot. It's a chance to highlight good things happening in our communities. And this morning we are talking with Pastor Tori Van de Zand from Union Congregational Church, United Church of Christ in Hackensack. They host a variety of groups that support their community. Welcome, Tori.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Good. So tell us a bit about your church and your history in Hackensack.
Well, our church has been around since really Hackensack has been around. And the earliest of days, it was one of the first churches that was here. And even in the early 1900s, one of my favorite stories is that somebody donated our church bell that we still use today. And they used it as a fire alarm system for the community, that when a fire would break out, they would ring the bell, everybody would come, and they would know that they needed to work together. And so our church has always been an essential part of the community. We've always had this belief of loving God and loving others through serving them. We started Faith in Action of Cass County out of our church, out of a small group of people who saw a need in the community of people needing to get to the doctor and needing to get groceries. And that had grown to the point where it is now its own entity. It's now its own nonprofit that serves Cass County and hundreds of people in various places and doing different things, such as building ramps, getting them to doctor's appointment, getting them groceries, and just visiting with people who are lonely. And so our church has been part of this community for decades and decades. And that has always been our belief, that we serve people, and that's how we love God.
All right.
And there are many community groups that use the church's building. Could you highlight some of the different groups that use the church?
Yeah, there are many different groups who use our building. We have an AA meeting that meets on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. We have a childcare center that has been renting part of our facility. That's called Great Start. And that has been in there for the last few years, serving our community through childcare. We have a few exercise groups that meet twice a week. One is called Fit to Move. One is called Bone Builders. And we rent out our building every August, the second Saturday in August. We rent that out to Northwoods Art Council for their book and art festival. And our church houses over 30 authors, along with our parking lot for vendors. Faith in Action still uses our building for their fundraisers, and our church does monthly benefit meals. At the first Wednesday of every month, we do a benefit meal where we support one of our area nonprofits, such as Hackensack Food Shelf, the Lending Library that's here in town, Paws and Claws, and I think the last benefit we did was for Family Safety Network. And so those are just a few of the things that we do out of our building. And so we, again, always have supported community and always had this belief of loving God and loving others through serving them.
Yeah. And you think of a church building, you know, it can be just a building, but it's also so much more than that. And I don't know, you know, your building has been around for a long time, and it's in need of a new roof.
It is. It's in need of a new roof. We have added onto the building because we needed to, and the facility has grown, and it's been about 25 years, and now our building is in need of a roof, and so we started a fundraising campaign, and one of the things that we're doing is doing a fundraising meal that we are having there this Friday. And it's called Dinner and a Show, with the theme of frost and flannel. And yes, people need to wear flannel. Mm-hmm. And we do have a prize. The most creative presentation of flannel gets a prize. And that is this Friday January 16th from like 5 to 6:30. And it's more than just dinner and a show. We have Larry Kimball coming in with Kathy Wagner, also known as Mama Wags. They're coming in to do some live music while people eat. We're having a silent auction. We're having a bake sale. And our whole whole point is to raise money for the roof so that we can continue to serve our community.
Right. What's for dinner?
Oh, it is a gourmet meal.
Okay.
We have, I had to call for the menu because I needed to get the wording right. It is a smoky sweet chipotle chicken thighs with rice and cheesecake with raspberries for dessert. And there's also wine going to be available on the tables as well.
Okay. And how do people need to buy tickets? How do people participate in this?
Well, it is a donation.
Okay.
We're hoping that people can show up and we'll get them seated as quickly as possible, and everything is a donation.
So the part I'm most curious about is the most creative display of flannel, because I feel like just wearing a flannel shirt and flannel pants, that's not going to cut it. We need something more than that. So I'm really curious what people are going to bring.
I'm curious as well. You know, people are creative in this area. Northwoods people have to be creative. And I don't think that we'll be disappointed with some of the people that are going to show up in their flannels.
Yeah. So it's this Friday. What time does it start?
Starts at 5 and it goes until 6:30.
Okay.
And there will be live music while people are eating.
All right, great. And this kind of is one of the kickoff events to the Back to Hack event happening this weekend in Hackensack. I know there's lots going on there.
Yep. It's going to be a very crazy weekend here. So much to do. So much to do. We have, the firehouse is having their fish fry on Saturday night. We got a bonfire. I think there's fireworks too, usually every year. Rendezvous Brewing has a lot of things going on. It's a good weekend to visit Hackensack.
Yeah, just that, you know, community coming together is always a good thing, especially when you can, you know, come together for a good cause, like supporting the new roof at Union Congregational Church in Hackensack, which, you know, how you do so many great things under that roof. So,
yes. Yes, we do. And the people and the volunteers that we have are really amazing. And the people who come out to support us. I mean, this community, I cannot say enough good things about the people in this community.
Great. That is Pastor Tori Van de Zandt from Union Congregational Church, United Church of Christ in Hackensack. Their Frost and Flannel fundraiser for a new roof begins 5 o'clock this Friday, January 16th, and the Bright Spot is made possible with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor Tori.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How you make it look so easy to just up and leave this city. Goodbye, clouds and rain. Off to find a sunny day. Must get lonely. The kind of ache that cures you slowly. No more missing home when it's all you've ever known. Running towards what you might find. Hoping better fate unwinds.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel.
And I'm Amy Martinez. And Leila, I think we got to meet everyone in Hollywood last night.
Yeah, we were the public radio people at the Hollywood party. But we were there for free speech and the First Amendment.
That's right. And some free food, I think, too.
Not
right?
Very much
yeah, there you go. And that's because we were at the Golden Globes. We were nominated as well. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But someone else was in the room full of TV and movie stars with us, and that's NPR's culture correspondent, Manalit del Barco. Manalit, good morning.
Hello. It was great to see you two on the red carpet doing the glam cam.
Yeah, it was awesome. I know. I don't think I did the right thing, but okay. Oh, well. All right. So let's start off with the host of the Golden Globes. And that was comedian Nikki Glaser. She made some pretty sharp comments during the ceremony. What did she have to say?
Well, in her opening monologue, Nikki Glaser made a few digs at some of the A-list celebrities in the audience. She made reference to the handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files and recent editorial controversies on a certain broadcast network.
And the Golden Globe for best editing goes to the Justice Department. Yes, congratulations. And the award for most editing goes to CBS News. Yes, CBS News, America's newest place to see BS News.
Just remember, the Golden Globes ceremony was on CBS.
Yeah, I think Glaser has become like the roast master of America in a lot of ways. All right, so commentary aside, it was an award show. So who were some of the winners last night at the Golden Globes?
Well, in the TV categories, it was almost like a repeat of last fall's Emmys. Awards for Noah Wiley and The Pitt, for Seth Rogen and The Studio, and for the limited series Adolescence. But something new, a Best Actress Award for Rhea Seehorn, who stars in the new show Pluribus.
Yeah, that's a very big show on Apple TV. So what about on the film side?
One Battle After Another did win one award after another, four in all, including for director Paul Thomas Anderson. Timothée Chalamet picked up a Golden Globe for his performance as a ping pong whiz in Marty Supreme. Jesse Buckley got a Best Actress Award for Hamnet. And Brazilian actor Wagner Moura was crowned Best Actor in a Drama for the film The Secret Agent.
The Secret Agent is a film about memory, or the lack of memory, and generational trauma. I think that if trauma can be passed along generations, values can too.
He also said a few words in Portuguese.
All right, now here's the reason why we were there, because there is a brand new awards at the Golden Globes. Best Podcast, we, though, at Up First, did not win.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that, A. And that award went to Amy Poehler, who has a weekly podcast called Good Hang with Amy Poehler, where she shares stories with other celebrities. And during her acceptance speech, she made this playful jab.
I just want to say that I know I am new to this game. I have great respect for this form. I have great respect for all the people that I am nominated with. I am big fans of all of you, except for NPR. Just a bunch of celebs phoning it in, so try harder.
But you know, that maybe that means we have to end with the Golden Globe Song of the Year from Netflix's super popular K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, why not? Oh, Amy Poehler. I used to like her.
It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a jab at us. She was saying that we're serious and doing important work.
She beat us, though. She beat us, though.
Yeah. She loves NPR.
That's NPR's Manalit del Barco. Manalit, thanks.
Thank you.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Amy Martinez.
And I'm Leila Fadel.
Thanks so much for tuning in to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we're people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. You can join us at kaxe.org. I'm Jennifer Barr. Support comes from Happy Dancing Turtle, an organization dedicated to growing stewards. Registration now open for the 20th annual Back to Basics Sustainable Living event, being held at Pine River Bacchus School Saturday, February 7th. More at happydancingturtle.org. Weather for today, partly to mostly sunny, highs 35 to 38 with light west winds. Chance for mixed precipitation tonight, steady temps in the low to mid 30s. And tomorrow, chance of rain mixed with snow, mostly cloudy, highs near 36. Breezy west winds up to 30 miles per hour. Lows overnight.